Namaskaram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we take up a bhajan which used to be sung in the early years in Prashant Nilayam. Even now it is sung, but not very often. A lovely bhajan which adores our Lord as the lotus-eyed one. And it also describes the attributes of the avatar, some of the most beautiful qualities of any divine incarnation. So here is the first line of the bhajan.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan.
So this is what we will learn now. Let's get started familiarizing ourselves with the lyrics, and then we'll move on, like in every episode of Bhajan Classroom, to the tune, the raga, the beat, and then we will discuss every word of this bhajan. Here are the lyrics.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan, Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan, He Dina Janon Ke Pran, He Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram, Sri Sai Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram, He Dina Janonke Pran.
Now that you are familiar with the words of the bhajan, here is how to sing this bhajan flawlessly. Brother Srinivasulu, along with Brother Anirudh, will now give us a demonstration of the tune of the bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C pancham.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan. He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan. He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan. He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan. He Dina Janon Ke Pran. 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 He Patita Pavana Sita Ram. 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 Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram. Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram. Putaparti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram. Putaparti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram. Sri Sai Ram Jaya Jaya 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 Ram. Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram. Parti Purishwara Sri శ్రీ సాయిరామ్ పుట్టపర్తిపురీశ్వర శ్రీ సాయిరామ్ పుట్టపర్తిపురీశ్వర శ్రీ సాయిరామ్ హే దీన జనోం కే ప్రాణ్ హే దీన జనోం కే ప్రాణ్ సాయి దీన జనోం కే ప్రాణ్ సాయి దీన జనోం కే ప్రాణ్ హే కమల నయన
So that's the lovely bhajan. Brother Srinivaslu gave us a very beautiful demonstration of the tune of the bhajan. And now for those of us who are keen musicians who want to play this in our instruments, let us learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. What are the swaras that make this bhajan and what is the raga which is the basis for this composition? Anirudh is here with us to share us his thoughts. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the technical makeup of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is based on rag tilang in the classical music, both streams of classical music. It's a beautiful raga where you have just five notes. Sa ga shuddha ga ma pa ni shuddha ni sa sa Komalni, while coming down. Pa ma ga sa sa ga ma pa ni sa sa ni pa ma ga sa. So this is rag tilang, and we can see traces of tilang in the bhajan. Because most of the lines, the swaras are taken from tilang, the way the notes flow, like gamapa gamapani gamapani sani pa. So when we do the swaras, you will observe that most of the lines start with ga, gama gamapa, like that the progression goes. So from the progression of the notes, we can, maybe it is little similar to rag tilang. And of course, bhajans need not be exactly belonging to that raga. So we have a mixture of some notes like ri and dha also coming into the bhajan that we will get to know when we look at the swaras for each line. Whereas it has a wonderful feel. It's a very unique, I can say, because this is a raga where there is no dha. So it has a its own charm in it, like sa ga ma pa ni sa ni pa ma ga. So that makes it little more beautiful by standing in the notes like ma ga ga ma.
వైజయంతీధర వనమాలాధర.
So all these bhajans can be classified as similar to rag tilang, or it has, all these bhajans have a tilang flavor in them.
Okay, I guess when we discover the swaras, we'll be more alive to the beauty of this bhajan.
Yes, and the lyrics of the bhajan is also so beautiful that the tune is so justifying to the lyrics. It's so charming, that's what I can think of.
Yes.
He kamala nayana bhagavan sri satya sai bhagavan,
means the tune and the lyrics itself give a feel that Swami's form was so beautiful and charming. So it's a personal feeling how each connect to the bhajan.
Yes.
Whereas since the Kamala Nayana is there in the lyrics, so you can easily visualize this bhajan. Yes. Helps to easily visualize the form and beautiful eyes of Swami.
Yes. The blossoming of His love.
Yes.
Lovely. So let's take every line of the bhajan.
Yes, so let's take the first line.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan Gama Panini Ni Sarini Sani Ni Pa Gama Panini Ni Sarini Sani Ni Pa Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan Gama Pasasani Sasani Pagamagra. He Dina Jano Ki Pran Gagamapa Magari Rigagari Sa
Gagamapa Magari Rigagari Sa.
Sri Sai Ram Gama Pasasasani Nipa Gama Pamaga
Gama Pasasasani Nipa Gama Pamaga.
He Dina Jano Ki Pran Ga Gama Pamagari Riga Gari Sa
Ga Gama Pamagari Sa.
So you would have observed many times gamapa, gamapa, gamapani, gamapani sa. So the beauty is that every line starts with ga, almost every line starts with ga, and it has its own beauty in its tune, and also the way it is composed.
Yeah, slightly a longer bhajan than most of the vintage bhajan we have seen.
Yes. And it is a medium bhajan.
Yes. So what is the beat?
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Aditalam or Kaherva in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. 4. 1, 2, 3.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan.
Sri Sai.
Sai Bhagavan
He Dina Jano Ki Pran
So much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So now you know how to sing this bhajan. You know the raga, the tala, and it's time to put more of your heart into this bhajan. You know about the art now, but what carries a bhajan to the Lord is what emerges from the heart. And the way to convert our art into a heartful offering is by putting our heart into it, by feeling what we are singing, and by making it a sadhana, not just a performance. So let's take the first line of the bhajan.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagavan.
Kamala Nayana means the lotus-eyed one. Kamala is lotus, Nayana is eye. It's really interesting that the limbs of the Lord are always described as Kamala Nayana, Kamala Padma, Kamala Hasta, lotus palms, lotus feet, lotus smile, and so on. Why is the lotus associated with the Lord in such an intimate manner? The lotus is born out of mud and slush. But put a drop of water on a lotus leaf and it just promptly rolls down. This is what is called as the lotus effect. Even though the lotus is in the water, it does not allow the water to get into it. You are in the world, but you don't allow the world to touch you. This is how the avatars function. This is the nature of the divine when in human form. And this is precisely the reason why all the limbs of the Lord are adored as compared to the lotus. The avatars are totally involved in the world, but at the same time, they are totally detached. They teach us the lesson, the most important lesson of life. You should be in the world, but not allow the world to get into you. And all the avatars do it effortlessly because they don't identify themselves with their bodies. They know that they are divine. As Swami says, the only difference between you and me is this: I know I am God. You don't know that you are God. Many years ago, on a Guru Purnima day, the year was probably 1976, Swami had spent the entire morning visiting the new houses that he had constructed for the Harijans, the economically most disadvantaged people around Puttaparthi. A flood in River Chitravati had washed their huts away, and Swami had now built for them permanent structures. Not only this, Bhagwan had also provided employment to every one of them by assigning them work inside the ashram premises. And that morning, he had gone to personally assure them that he is always with them and would look after their welfare in every way. The delight that he lighted in the hearts of those hapless people was a sight which would make even the most depressed person on earth blossom into a smile. They were so happy. Even the Lord was so ecstatic. He reveled in their happiness, and he spent 3 to 4 hours with them, talking to them, moving from one house to another, listening to their woes, blessing an infant there, caressing a child there, and so on. And that afternoon, when Swami asked Mr. Raman Rao to go down and wait for him, this time again he could not contain his anxiety, and he insisted, "Swami, please do not strain yourself more. This evening do not venture out for darshan, please." Given how tired Swami was in the morning, he thought he should make this prayer to Swami. But barely had he completed his prayer, Swami shot back and said, "You think all these people have come for my darshan? Are they here so that they can see me? You are wrong, absolutely wrong." And Mr. Raman Rao was bewildered. He thought, if all these people are not here for Swami's darshan, then why on earth have they gathered? Why have they come from so many places, far and near? Why are they waiting for him with so much of patience and silence? And even as he was grappling to make sense of what had emerged from the Lord's mouth at bullet speed, Bhagwan went on He looked deep into his eyes and he said, "It is I who is going to have their darshan. They have all come at my sankalpa, at my instance, so that I can see them. How am I to take rest when they are waiting for me?" And when Mr. Ramanrao heard this, he thought, "Swami, this is really atishayokti. Atishayokti means pure exaggeration." He felt, how can Swami say that he is going to have devotees' darshan? This is so weird, so quixotic. Right at that split second when this thought occurred in his mind, Swami snapped at him with his piercing look and said, "You think this is atishayokti?" Mr. Ramanrao was shaken to his bones. He sat there transfixed to the spot. He was perspiring profusely. Not only was the message so profound, the way the Lord had reacted instantly at lightning speed to what was occurring in his mind, that had completely dazed him. His mind went blank, his muscles became still. And then Swami lovingly explained, "When I go amidst the devotees, do you think I look at their bodies? I see their souls. When I see them, I see their past, I see their present, and what I should do for their better future. Unfortunately, you look at me as the one with this body." And even before Mr. Ramanrao could register and assimilate the enormity of what Bhagwan had just revealed, Swami went on and added, "Every time I speak, I address you all as Divyatma Sarupalara, embodiments of divine Atma. Do you think I do this simply to praise you or to please you? I mean it. You are all Atmas. That is how I see all of you. My advent is for my devotees and I am a devotee of my devotees." That was the fantastic revelation of Bhagwan. It is only because the divine always sees us as Atmas, as his reflections, that he loves us so unconditionally and so mercifully. We may have a million shortcomings, we may have faltered 1,000 times, we may not have trusted him to the extent he wants us to, we may not have truly loved him with all our heart, all our strength and all our soul. Still, he waits for that single slightest opportunity to lift us, to save us, to hold our hands and to fill us with his love. Yet again, he does it absolutely, unconditionally. And that is the reason why he loves all, regardless of whether one is a spiritual giant or a proud intellectual, a selfish person or a clever ignoramus or an honest gentleman, whether one occupies an exalted office and wields power and wealth, or whether one has spent all his life trying to keep his flesh and bone together, precariously moving from one challenging circumstance to the other. For everyone, he is the same, his love is the same, because he sees everyone as same as Atma. Because his eyes are lotus eyes. He does not see bodies. He is not attached to any body. He is not attached to his own body. He is in the world, but he is beyond this world. That is the reason why we hail him as Kamalanayana. So in this line, we praise the Lord who has these beautiful lotus eyes. They are beautiful not because of their external beauty. They are beautiful because they see only the good in others. We call out to such a beautiful Lord in this first line. Let's move on to the second line.
Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan.
So who is this Lord? Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan, the one who rests on truth, whose name is truth. And Bhagavan is one who is omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent. That same power incarnated yet again as Sri Satya Sai. That is what we sing in the second line. Let's move on to the third line.
He Dina Janon Ke Pran.
Dina means weak and forlorn. Chano is people. Ke is of. Pran is life force. He Dina Janon Ke Pran. We call out to the one who is the life force of the depressed and the downtrodden. Mr. Ramanrao once narrated another very beautiful experience. This happened in the 70s. It was the time of Dasara celebrations. Every year, people come in large numbers for the Dasara celebrations. One morning, on the morning of the last day of Dasara, the Vijayadashmi day, Swami distributed clothes to all the inmates of the ashram, as well as to all the Sevadal volunteers. After this, as he was retiring to his room, he called Mr. Raman Rao near, and Bhagwan suddenly started giving a running commentary. Swami said, "Just now, an old couple has entered the shed. The man is 70 years old. His wife is 65. The man has a tuft of hair on his head. Like orthodox Brahmins in India maintain, there is a string of Rudrakshas around his neck. On his body is the sacred thread. Now he is opening his trunk with the key that is tied to his sacred thread. He is taking out two towels. He changed into one. The other towel now rests on his shoulder. He removed his dhoti and shirt and now kept it in his bag. He is now taking out a vessel from his bag." Bhagwan went on like this, giving a live commentary of what was happening with this couple in the shed. And suddenly Swami stopped and looked at Mr. Raman Rao and said, "Go and bring this couple here." And as he was leaving, Swami said, "Wait, they are from Gulbarga, which is a town in the state of Karnataka." Swami said, "They know Telugu, but they will converse only in Kannada. So take a boy who can speak Kannada with you when you go there." And Mr. Raman Rao immediately said, "But Swami, I will be able to recognize them. There shouldn't be a problem." But Swami insisted, "No, take a Kannada speaking boy with you." And he added, "Because that old man will say, 'Why would Baba call me? How does he know me? This is the first time I'm coming here.'" When Swami said this, Mr. Raman Rao said, "Swami, I will tell him that you are God. You are omnipresent." Swami just cut him short and forcefully said, "Just do as I say." And then further Swami said, "That old man will ask you, 'Who will take care of my box and bag if I go with you?'" And when Mr. Raman Rao heard this, he started laughing to himself. He thought, I mean, why will a person worry about his bag and box if Swami is calling him? In any case, he had to follow Bhagwan's instructions, so he took a boy along with him. And once he reached the shed, it was not difficult for him to identify the person after all the detailed description that Bhagwan had given him. So he went straight to the person and he paid his respects to him. And then he told that person that Swami is waiting for you in the mandir. And interestingly, that old man immediately asked, "Me? It cannot be me. I am coming here for the first time. Baba has not seen me. Baba does not know me. You are mistaken. Maybe it is someone else." And Mr. Raman Rao was so amused and perplexed. This is exactly what Bhagwan had told him. Now he took the help of that Kannada boy and told him to explain to this man about Bhagwan's divinity. So when the old man heard everything, he said, "Okay, if your Baba is so great and all that, if listening to you and agreeing to you, if I decide to go with you, now who will take care of my box and bag?" Wow. Now again, Mr. Raman Rao was fully zapped. He marveled at Swami's all-encompassing vision that presides over the past, present and the future. With deep humility and politeness, now he explained to the old man that the boy he had brought with him would look after his luggage until the couple returned from Baba, and he told them and pleaded with them to come with him to Swami. The moment they went to Bhagwan, Mr. Raman Rao immediately told Swami, "Swami, this man repeated exactly what you had said." Swami said, "I know it. I am also aware of your garrulousness. That is the reason why I asked you to take the Kandika boy with you." Mr. Raman Rao fell at Bhagwan's feet and he sought his forgiveness, and Bhagwan now looked at this couple from Karnataka, and with great love, Swami presented a pair of dhoti to the man and a sari to the lady. And then Bhagwan said, "Both of you wear these new clothes after you shower on the Vijayadashmi day. I know you have quarreled with your son and daughter-in-law and have come away. Do not worry. Stay in the shed. All your belongings will be safe. Today is bank holiday. Once the bank opens tomorrow, deposit all your money there. Everything will be fine. You have my blessings. Stay in peace, in Prashanti. This is how Bhagwan blessed this couple whom nobody knows in this world but the Lord, who is the refuge of the forlorn, knows when to bless, how to bless, whom, how much, and in what manner. That is why He is Dina Janon Ke Pran. He is the life of those who feel who have no life. Let's move on to the next line.
He patita pavana sitaram.
Patita means the fallen one. Pavana is pure. He patita pavana sitaram. Here we refer to Lord Ram as the one who emancipated those that are fallen. Often we refer to the incident of Ahalya, who was turned into a stone by the curse of her husband, and when the touch of Lord Rama's feet happened, she transformed immediately into her normal state and was accepted by the Lord. Whatever is stone within us, by the touch of the Lord, transforms into life, into beauty, into auspiciousness. This is a very beautiful incident from the life of Mr. Vijay Soni from Indore, Madhya Pradesh, India. From his very childhood, the members of his family worshipped Shirdi Sai Baba as God, but none of them had any faith in Satya Sai incarnation. And Mr. Soni, on the contrary, also used to use derogatory language while referring to Bhagwan. He had no love or respect for him, and his only aim in life was to make a lot of money. There was no place for spirituality in his life. Even though he belonged to a Brahmin family, he never followed any of the traditional norms. He used to eat non-veg and even drink. In 1985, he appeared for the state civil service examinations, and the reason why he wanted to clear this is he wanted to be in the sales tax department, because he knew that is one area where he can make a lot of money, lot of extra income in quotes. And as luck would have it, he became sales tax inspector, and he was posted in Indore. And in no time, he was attracted to the evils of the department, and every day he came back home with loads of cash. He had learned all the ways of making quick money. During this time, he visited an astrologer who, on reading his horoscope, said that a change for the better will come in his life during 1994-95. And Mr. Vijay Soni thought that probably he is going to become even richer. Maybe he will be made a part of the flying squad. The flying squad always made a lot of extra income because everyone was dreadful. Every businessman would want to please them somehow. So he thought probably that would be how destiny would make his life even better. But what happened was absolutely something else. In 1992, he was blessed with a daughter, and 4 years later, he admitted his daughter in the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vihar in Indore, because it was a reputed school in that city. At the time of her admission, someone told him about Bhagwan, but Mr. Vijay Soni didn't seem very interested, because that friend started telling him that Sri Satya Sai Baba is not only Shirdi Sai Baba himself, but also is the reincarnation of Lord Krishna and Rama and Jesus. And Mr. Soni dismissed all this entirely. But then later he thought, maybe this person is something special, but whoever this person may be, I should at least familiarize myself about him, because my daughter is studying in a school which bears his name. So for this reason, I should know a little more about who this person is. And that is the reason why he started going to Sai Bhajans in the house of a friend. And casually he started attending the programs of the Sai Center. And after a while, for some reason, he felt maybe I should go to Puttaparthi and see this person once. So in October 1995, he traveled to Puttaparthi alone. The ashram was abuzz with Dasara celebrations. And even during this time, he had no special respect for Bhagwan or anything of that nature. He sat for darshan every day. And for 3 days, Swami did not look at him. On the fourth day, the day he was scheduled to return, Swami came and stood right in front of him. And he says, I don't know what happened to me then. When I saw him right in front of me, I just burst into tears. Like a child, I was crying and weeping. Like a little one, my hands automatically folded in obeisance to him. Unknowingly, I just bowed down and I touched his feet. I don't know what I was doing and why I was doing. But only one thing I can say is that it was such an elevating experience. I felt so light. I can't describe. But it was very purifying. And after this first rendezvous with Bhagwan, something had touched him. So he returned to Indore and now he started participating in the activities of the Sai Samiti with greater enthusiasm. And now he thought he will join the Satasai organization as a Sevadal. And he came to Puttaparthi in 1996, September, as a Sevadal volunteer. This was his second trip to Puttaparthi. And this is when something happened which changed his life forever. In fact, Swami had started giving him indications of things to come much before he reached Puttaparthi on that visit. At about 5 o'clock, when he was still in the train before reaching Puttaparthi, Swami appeared in his dream and he asked him, "What do you want?" And Mr. Soni was very startled, so he just said, "Swami, I only crave for your love and blessings." Swami smiled and said, "This you have anyway, ask for something else." But Mr. Vijay Soni didn't know what else to ask for. And the dream ended, Swami left. So he alighted from the train and then he came for Bhagwan's darshan. And when he was sitting, waiting for Bhagwan's arrival, he thought that maybe he saw Bhagwan in his dream because he was thinking about him. So there's nothing significant to ponder over. And just then he saw that the person sitting next to him during darshan was reading a book on Bhagwan. Out of curiosity, he asked for that book. And when he opened the page, his eyes fell on one line which said, "I appear in dreams at my will. If you think that I appear because of your thinking, you are mistaken." This is the line that hit him as he opened the book, and instantly he knew God was speaking to him all doubts about his mysterious appearance. That morning vanished, and this was just the beginning. On the morning of September 26, 1996, as he waited in line for his darshan, he was lucky to find himself in the front row, and when Bhagwan came near, he raised his hand to offer him a letter. And when he offered his letter to Bhagwan, Swami showed him both his hands, which were full with letters, and gestured as if to say, "See, my hands are full, I have no room for your letter." So Mr. Vijay Soni was taken aback, he was sad, because even though Swami told that to him, as Bhagwan moved further, he did take letter from someone else. So this really hit him, and he thought, why did he not take my letter? He went into self-introspection, and now he thought, maybe there is something in me which is blocking the grace of the divine to flow into my life. And that day he resolved then and there that he will not accept anything unofficial in future. And mentally he made this solid commitment to Swami and he said, "Swami, I will give up all the wrong ways of earning money from this instant itself." And the next day when he sat for darshan again with a letter in his hand, Swami came straight to him and now looked at him lovingly and accepted his letter. Not a word was spoken, but Mr. Vijay Soni was beaming with joy. He knew what Bhagwan wants. He knew he had been accepted. He had learnt a vital lesson of his life. After this, not only taking to corrupt ways, he gave up even drinking and non-vegetarian food, and all his colleagues in the office said, "I don't think this will last. We know this is just a flash in the pan kind of an enthusiasm. Given your lifestyle and the way you live your life, how are you going to maintain your family with your limited salary? And remember, you have a daughter. So don't make these hasty decisions. What you are doing is perfectly normal. Everyone does it, so we don't have to change anything." all these people tried to influence him through clever arguments and strategies, but Mr. Vijay Soni simply said, "All these problems of my life are not my problems anymore. They are Swami's problems. I have given my word to Swami. He will look after me." And that is how Vijay Soni's life made a 180 degree turn. And from that day, his life has been a saga of divine grace. It was initially tough, but once he held on to his lotus feet, Swami smoothly carried him on his palms. All the problems in his life melted away. And every time there was a situation which was difficult, his faith always created a beautiful solution. Now he's among the happiest people in the Satya Sai organization, so happy and so peaceful, walking on the path directed by Swami. This is what the Lord does. He patita pavana Sitaram. This is how He elevates us, purifies us, redeems us with His love. Let's move on to the next line.
Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram.
So we hail the same Lord who has come down now as Sai Ram, who has made Puttaparthi His abode, and who is hailed as Puttaparthi Purishwara, the Lord of Puttaparthi. He is the same Lord who came earlier as Sai Rama. This is what is conveyed in the next line to Sri Sai Ram, Jai Jai Ram.
Sri Sai Ram, Jai Jai Ram.
So many are the occasions when Bhagwan has given darshan of Himself as Rama to the Raja of Venkatgiri, to Mother Ishwaramma. So many are the occasions when Bhagwan has created rings that Rama wore, the jewels that Sita wore, the necklace that Ravana used to have adorned on his neck. Any number of instances when he has narrated secrets of the Ramayana, secrets of the life of the great devotees that make his story in the Ramayana. When we sing this line, if we can think of him as that supreme power, as that ideal being, and hail his glory and sing his victory, that is what is conveyed. Sri Sai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. The next two lines, Parti Purishwara Sri Sai Ram and He Dina Janon Ki Pran, are repeated, and we have discussed them before. So this bhajan has so many beautiful attributes of the Lord, and if we can just immerse ourselves in the supremely sanctifying presence of the Lord in our lives, and every time we sing, if we feel elevated, if we feel purified, if we feel sublimated taking His name, then this bhajan would have lifted us towards Him. This bhajan would become not just a soul-filling experience, also a soul-uplifting experience. So let's immerse ourselves in these feelings and in these vibrations as we sing this bhajan. We'll now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
He Kamala Nayana Bhagava.
Sita Ram, Sita Pavana Sita Ram.
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.